Our New Testament lesson today is from Colossians and chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Hear now the word of the Lord. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Oh, I needed to keep going. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The word of the Lord. The Reverend Bill Roscoe is here today to bring our morning message. This church has had a long relationship with both Boise Rescue Mission Ministries and with Bill, and he's become a good friend to me and to this congregation, and it's always a gift to have you here, Bill, and to bring our message from the Word of God. Would you please come on up? And let me pray for you before you begin.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Bill and his leadership in this community. Bill's leadership goes beyond the Boise Rescue Mission Ministries and touches the lives of many believers throughout this valley. And so we just thank you, Lord, that Bill is here with us today, and pour out your Holy Spirit upon him as he brings our morning message. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. Good morning. It is really, really good to be with you, and I appreciate very much the invitation to come and share with you today from the Word and to talk about the work of the Boise Rescue Mission. And I would say that there are few congregations in this valley that are as familiar with the work of the Boise Rescue Mission as this one is. And that's because a long time ago, you folks decided that the rescue mission was worth your time and your prayer and your resources, and you made that commitment and you stayed the course. And I am so grateful. Thank you very, very much for all that goes on through this church, through this group of people on behalf of the Boise Rescue Mission. All of us appreciate you. And it is truly gratifying to have stood in the lobby here this morning and been able to greet so many of you who have actually served at the Rescue Mission, given your time there, and to hear your comments to me about that experience. And to hear you say that our people are kind and our people are thankful and our people are cooperative and helpful as you're there serving. What a blessing that is to me, the old guy who's up in the office, you know, praying and hoping that this is really going on down there. And indeed it is. And I'm so glad and so grateful to God. So thank you. And, you know, this morning as we as I consider my 20 years, 20 and a half years of life and ministry here in Idaho, I can tell you the truth that a lot has changed at the Boise Rescue Mission. And I had no idea when I got here what God had in mind as we were singing. I'm thinking of the words and thinking to myself that I really do appreciate the fact that God doesn't let us see the distant future, but that all through the way he leads us. Because believe me when I say, and Mike McLean was on our board for a couple years, he can tell you, you know, it's day to day sometime at the rescue mission. What exactly are you doing, Lord? What exactly is going on here? And please help me to know and understand. And we've seen a lot of that in my tenure. And I thank God that as we have prayed, he has heard and answered. And so I'm confident that we have remained in his will and we are doing the work that he's designed for us to do at the rescue mission. Because I know you are very aware of what's going on, I'm going to not spend a lot of time talking about all the various ministries. And I appreciate the table set up in the hallway so that you can sign up to volunteer and be a part of the ministry team at the rescue mission. But I do have a couple of new things to share with you. And one of those is the Sunrise Manor. And Sunrise Manor is formerly the Park Place Assisted Living down on South Curtis Road, south of Overland. And this came into our purview back in the late summer, early fall last year, when the fellow who owned that property, Randy Nye, called our office and spoke with my friend Jason Billister and told him, we're moving the people out of the building. We're going to sell and dispose of that property, and we want to know if the rescue mission is interested in that property. And so Jason, being the wise young man that he is, said, well, you better talk to Reverend Bill. And so he did, and Reverend Bill, then being the wise old man, went to the board and said to the chairman, what do you think? And he said, go have a look. So we went and had a look, and I've got to tell you, folks, that it absolutely boggles my mind that God opened up the opportunity for the rescue mission to take this property on. We have 55,000 square feet of building under roof, all in one level. You do need a map to get through the building. I got lost about four or five times in the early days there. 55,000 square feet, 100 rooms, commercial kitchen, four day rooms, four laundry rooms, a beautiful lobby about the size of this room here as you come into the building. It is absolutely amazing. It's one level, it's on slab on grade, it's brick exterior. The roof's only 4 years old. And the owners, the sellers of the property, made a commitment to us and discounted the property by $2 million to sell it to the rescue mission. And at that, it was $3.2 million to buy it. And, you know, I didn't have that in the checkbook at the moment. And we prayed and said, in fact, I'm going to tell you the truth. My chairman and I, Kent Conrad is my chairman, and he knows you. He pastored First Church of the Nazarene for 20 years. Kent and I met for lunch one day and prayed. And we were just about ready to say to the Lord, this is too much, God. We can't do this. And we went away from that. It was a Friday. And by Sunday morning, I called him up and I told him, brother, we got to buy that building. God has just convinced me that this is a gift from him. And he said, I feel the same way. So boom, here we go. And we did. And we wrote a check for, I don't know, $250,000 or something like that. And started praying and planning and thinking about how to remodel this 100 rooms into 60 apartments of transitional living for people that have gone through the program at the rescue mission or maybe another agency, people that are coming out of homelessness and trying to get back into the community but need a little more help, a little more time in order to accomplish that. We'll have 60 apartments, and some will be three rooms connected, some will be two, and some will be studios. And then the commercial kitchen is being completely redone, and we'll provide meals for those people that are in residence there. And we'll continue to mentor and teach and train and prepare those people to be out there in the community and live independently and be successful and be successful in their faith. We'll continue to have Bible studies and children's programs and all those things going on under that roof as well. It also included a house next door, 1,600 square foot, three bedroom house. That was kind of a bonus. I didn't even know the day I went there the house comes with it. But it does, and so we have staff living there, because even for our staff, it's difficult to find a place to live in Boise or in Meridian, the Valley. And so we're using that for staff housing, and it's a perfect arrangement. So we're really grateful to God. We're praying, and I ask you to pray with us that the city of Boise will finally issue a building permit. I've been waiting a long time. We need a building permit to go any further than we've gone, and we'll hope that that comes soon. And I want to say, too, that as you know, because you're a part of it, this is the most generous community on the face of the earth. And the people who have come alongside of us to get this project moving and completed has been phenomenal. And in fact, by March the 1st, we paid off the debt on that building. And we hadn't even really gone out to the community much to ask. We were just talking internally amongst the board and friends of ours, and people came up with the money to pay off that building. So praise the Lord. And we've got money in the bank to do the work. We're looking forward to getting the work going and moving 60 families from the shelters into the building so that they can have their own apartment and continue to make progress to get out into the community. It's an amazing thing that God is doing. I'm the most amazed guy in the valley, at least, maybe in the whole country, maybe in the world. I'm just amazed. The other thing I wanted to mention quickly is, you know, we had a wonderful decision by the United States Supreme Court not long ago to overturn the Roe v. Wade decision. And as we all celebrated that, I was talking with my friend David Ripley at Idaho Chooses Life, and we were thinking then about what next. And we think, and I think you would agree, that what next is the people of God, the body of Christ, really needs to rise up and be ready and available and helpful to those ladies and girls who find themselves in a crisis pregnancy. And as you know, I'm sure, we have served those ladies and girls in crisis pregnancies since our inception back in 1958. But now we've developed a program called the Cradle of Hope. And Cradle of Hope is a program that is primarily going to increase our ability to minister to those ladies and girls when they come to us with a crisis pregnancy by training up our staff, by separating some rooms in the facilities for those moms with babies. And you know, God blessed us with the Recovery Lodge about 5 years ago in Nampa. We have three brand new babies in the Recovery Lodge right now. And we've had babies there right from the beginning because that's part of that ministry. But we're really going to be focusing on making sure that our staff knows exactly how the best ways to minister to these moms in crisis and to their brand new babies who are going to come into this world. And so pray for that ministry as well. Our beloved Sarah Howard, some of you would know Sarah, our volunteer coordinator. Sarah's heading the charge on that, leading the way, and she's been involved in the pro-life movement since she was a little girl, and her family's been very involved. And so she's the perfect person to lead the way so that we can better minister to these ladies and girls that are in a crisis pregnancy. So we're excited, because things are going on there at the rescue mission. God is moving at the rescue mission. And in fact, I'm, again, the most amazed guy because, you know, I'm the president and CEO. And you said that, I'm thinking, I really am. I am that. It boggles my mind. I get to do this. I'm even able to do this. It's amazing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. And that's what God told me when he saved me, and I believed it then, and I really believe it now because of what's going on in my own life. So praise the Lord. We've got a lot going on, and thanks for your prayer, and thanks for your support. But what's it all about? Why build 60 more apartments? Why have ministry to pregnant ladies and girls? Because we want to make sure that those who are still blind can see. That's the purpose of the mission. We are a gospel mission. And we are going to continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. We have a lot of people coming to the rescue mission these days, homeless, hungry, broken, who are Christians, people of faith that have fallen off the way. The straight and narrow path, as we know, is hard to walk on sometime. And we have a lot of people coming to us who've known Christ, who have been saved, who are part of the family of God. But the vast majority of people coming to us aren't those people. The vast majority of those people are blind and have scales on their eyes and can't see. And our purpose and our goal is to help the blind to see. Reverend Billy Graham, that great man of God, made a statement that I want to read to you this morning. He said, man without God is a contradiction, a paradox, a monstrosity. He sees evil as good and good as evil. That is why some people love evil and hate that which is good, and they're still in their sins. For them, life's values are confused. Paul found the cure for his violent, destructive disposition not at the feet of Gamaliel or in the culture of Greece, but on the Damascus Road when he met Jesus Christ. Before his conversion, he saw Christ as the greatest evil and breathed out threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. But after he encountered Christ on the Damascus Road, he loved what he'd so fervently hated. At last, he could see evil as good and good, evil as evil and good as good. And according to Acts 9:18, there fell from his eyes something like scales. His values were straightened out because his nature had been changed by the redeeming grace of God. That statement truly reflects the ministry of the Boise Rescue Mission Ministries. We want to be the ones leading people into the light, taking people from that blind place. And as the prophet Isaiah added, they have things turned upside down. And all of us once lived in that place. Amen. We all once were lost. We all once were blind to the truth and the love of God. And all of us had to have our eyes open and the scales had to fall from our eyes. And that's our purpose at the rescue mission, to rescue the perishing, to reveal the cure for the scales that are blinding eyes. Every day we serve people who come through our doors that don't even know that they're blind. Like many of us, like myself, 45 years ago, I didn't know I was blind. I just knew I was a mess. But the truth of the matter is, like all people, I needed Jesus. They find themselves homeless and hungry and cast out and cast away, and they think it's all because of drinking too much or using drugs. They think they're grossly misunderstood. They think it's because of unemployment. They think it's because they were late paying the rent. But the truth is, they simply have things upside down. They're simply blind. Rather than turn to God and get God's help and wisdom for their lives, they turn to their own understanding. And isn't that the truth? Looking into themselves for the answers that only God can provide. And then they turn to their friends who are as blind as they are and try to find the answers there. Just like the apostle before he was able to see the truth, they don't think they need any help. How many times have I encountered that person in my ministry who says, I'm really okay. All I need is fill in the blank. But they're not okay. And what they need is Jesus and the power of God in their lives. And when they're in our house, sometime they come to the realization that things haven't gone so well. They start to wonder, is there something better? Is there another way? Why am I in a homeless shelter? And when they have those kinds of thoughts inside of themselves and they're in our place, they're going to find out that, yes, there is a better way. They're going to hear it from the people who are serving them their meals. They're going to hear it from the case managers who show them into the dorm. They're going to hear it in the chapel service every night. They're going to hear it in morning devotions. Yes, there is a better way, and it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so that's our purpose and our ambition, to share the gospel and to do that boldly and proclaim the truth of God to people. And it's a deliberate process that we've been refining since we were all saved a long, long time ago, and since Jesus Christ died on that cross on Calvary. The process is to pray and say, God, help us. We, your people, need your help because we want to relate to and love every person that comes through our doors at the rescue mission. And in and of ourselves, that's a tough job. In and of ourselves, we can't do that. And so we start by praying for and praying with anyone and everyone who will come into our ministry. And we do that whether we're sitting present with them or we're sitting in our offices down on 24th Street. We pray every single day for the people that God is bringing through our doors, the people God has sent to sleep in our beds. It starts with prayer. And then it works its way into the lives of people by extending kindness, by being kind and loving and compassionate towards people, whether they like it or not. And sometimes they don't, believe me. Sometimes they just, you know, want to throw up their hands and stay as far away from us as they can be. But we're going to love them anyway, whether they like it or not. because many of them are going to come to like it, believe me. I've got a whole house full of people over there in the New Life program at City Light and at the Rescue Mission on River Street who will tell you that they found Jesus because someone in that house loved them. I was in the mission a week or so ago talking with some veterans, and one of those guys said to me, he said, "You know, Reverend Bill, the people here treat me like a person." Isn't that an amazing statement? The people here treat me like a person. And that's not the way that it is when you're out on the street, living under the bridge, living on the river trail, panhandling on the corners. You don't get treated like a person very often. And I was so blessed to hear that in our house, he's treated like a person. That friendly greeting, a handshake, an arm around a shoulder, a smile, all of those things make an impression on people. And especially if in their hearts they're hungry for that kind of relationship, hungry to be treated like a person. And when we do that and we've prayed and God intervenes in the heart of that person, there's a little flicker of hope that kicks in. And with that little flicker of hope and a lot more compassion and love and effective ministry, whether it be meal services, whether it be a clean shower room, whether it be a kitchen full of people like you that come and serve meals and smile, all of that together works in the hearts of people. And it softens that heart, and the Spirit of God comes in. And that little flicker of hope turns into a flame. And the next thing you know, you've got people coming to Jesus, and life is changed forever and forever. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful process. And I'm so glad to be there, and I'm so glad that you're there with us. As we present the gospel to people, they come to faith in Jesus Christ. And with that, those chains of sin are broken, just as they were for me a long, long time ago when Christ came into my life and set me free. And many of you know my testimony and my story. God had a lot of work to do on Bill Roscoe, but he did it. And it all started with a compassionate group of people like you as I walked into the neighborhood church of the Christian and Missionary Alliance in March of 1976. I was sure the ceiling was going to fall on me. That's what I'd heard. And I knew that place was full of hypocrites, but I was going anyway. It's a long story. The ceiling didn't fall and they weren't hypocrites. And Christ came into my life and changed me forever. And he's still changing me. I'm still in the process of change. And so we do the same thing at the Rescue Mission. There's a verse from Ephesians that's one of my favorite in all of the scriptures because it speaks so truly, so sincerely about what happens when the people of God are and when the Spirit of God moves. And from Ephesians chapter 2, I want to read a few verses here for you because when you're homeless and desperate and hungry and you're a mom and you've got children that you're holding onto their hands and you've been sleeping in the car and suddenly you're brought into the City Light Home for Women and Children or the River Street Rescue Mission or the Valley Women and Children Shelter, the Recovery Lodge, when you come into that place, you don't know exactly what's going to happen. There's a lot of apprehension. There's fear. You can imagine suddenly. You've been displaced, you've been homeless, you've been living in a terrible situation. Now you're in a homeless shelter. We all know about homeless shelters. Why, they're worse than the neighborhood church was when I walked in there, you know? People are in there shooting dope, and they got guns in their pockets, and they're terrible people. It's a very intimidating experience for people the first time around. But as we love people when they come through the door and show them the way into that safe sanctuary that we provide, God does his work in their hearts. And you, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom we also all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath just as the others. But God, there's the key. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. What good news that is to that homeless person. What wonderful news that is to that mom with kids who's been sleeping in a car, that she and they can be forgiven of their sin. And this is what happens. This is when the light goes on, when they realize that, no, it wasn't just because you drank too much. It wasn't because you failed to pay your rent on time. It's because sin has been in your life. You've been blind and you couldn't see. But there's a God right here in this Treasure Valley who loves you. There's a God right here, right now, in this place, who can change your life if you'll surrender to him. And in his great mercy and his great love, that's exactly what he does. And so we see hundreds of decisions at the Rescue Mission every year, hundreds of people coming to Christ every year because we proclaim that simple gospel truth. I want to tell you about Jared Vasholtz. Jared came to the Rescue Mission about the same time I did. He's a young man then. He's still younger than me. But he was out, he was cocky and arrogant and kind of mean. He's a pretty built guy, and he'd push himself around through the crowd there at the Rescue Mission. And he wanted nothing to do with Jesus. He wanted nothing to do with the New Life Recovery Program. He was just fine, thank you. Just give me a couple of beers and get out of my face, was kind of his attitude. And one day he and another homeless guy that was in the dorm with him were riding on that guy's motorcycle in downtown Boise, and someone ran the stoplight at Capitol and Front Street. Boom, T-boned that motorcycle. Now, fortunately, neither of them were seriously injured, but Jared had a broken leg, and he was all chewed up. One whole side of his body looked like hamburger, and it was a bad thing. And he came back with a big cast on his leg, but he also came back with a new appreciation for life and a new understanding that, yeah, you know, the guy in chapel said the other day, you could die tomorrow and go to hell. He realized this is not just an expression. This is true. And so he joined the New Life Program. He humbled himself, and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. And today, Jared Vasholtz is the associate pastor of his church down in Nampa. And he's such a great preacher that they have sent him to Eastern Europe to preach the gospel to the people of places like Ukraine, places of the former Soviet Union. Imagine 20 years ago, he was running around crazy and blind, and today he's an evangelist for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what happens when the lights go on. That's what happens when the scales fall from the eyes. It's an amazing thing to be a part of and to see. There was a young man named Josh. He was 35 years old. This is about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And after two tours in Iraq, he came back very dysfunctional, addicted to alcohol. He was very violent, and he had broken all of the relationships in his life, all of his family relationship. He had wife and children, and they were all just shattered because of his behavior. And as he tells it, he was thinking of suicide almost every moment of every day because he felt like such a miserable failure. Here he'd been a soldier. He was a decorated soldier, a war hero, so to speak, and now he's a wretched man that no one wants to be around. He was very, very despondent, and he said, God wanted to save me, so he had me arrested. I can relate to that. And God did. Had him arrested. And he's in court. The judge says, I'm going to give you two choices. You can go down the road here and face these charges, or you can go into the Veterans Court program that we have here in Aden Canyon and throughout the state now. And he was wise enough to choose Veterans Court. He got into Veterans Court, and we are the first referral that you get from Veterans Court when you're homeless. And so he was sent to the Rescue Mission. And I have to say, he came in fairly humble. He came in recognizing that what he's been doing his whole life hasn't worked. And so he went through the process of finding Jesus Christ. And he found Jesus, and the scales fell from his eyes, and he was no longer blind, and he could see. And now that young man is reconciled to his family. He went through extensive counseling. He reconciled with his wife and kids. He found a good job. He saved his money, got his family back together, and they're living together today, and they're a part of a church right here in this valley. That's what happens when the blind can see. And Noble Flournoy Jr. is my favorite testimony. And if you come to my Boise office, and Mike, I'm sure you've seen the picture of Noble Flournoy Jr. when he graduated with his bachelor's degree from Chico State University. But when I met Noble Flournoy Jr., he was a 20-year heroin addict with felony convictions, with a dysfunctional family, little kids at the time who were living here and there, and he was a basket case. He'd been through at least three other recovery programs when he came to ours. And he came to ours with that same kind of attitude Jared Vasholz had. You know, just get me through here so I don't go to jail, pal, and then I'll be on my way. That was his modus operandi. But something funny happened to him in chapel one night. Jesus came into his heart. And when Jesus came into his heart, everything started to change. And so this guy, who was heading for another term in San Quentin, without a doubt, this guy got his high school diploma while he was in our program. He got his associate's degree while he was just finishing our program. He got his bachelor's degree while he was working for me when I was ministering in Redding, California at Chico State. And then he went to work for the Shasta County Mental Health Department, where he became the senior homeless outreach worker for Shasta County Mental Health. Take that, devil. Can you imagine? What a great testimony. I married he and his common-law wife along the way, and they all got back together and became a family again. Noble died last year, 23 years a Christian, 23 years of service in his church, and a wonderful testimony. He left and went to heaven. His daughter, who is now an ordained minister, conducted his funeral. How cool is that? Whew. Man, I just love what Jesus does. And then, of course, my lovely assistant, Misty Maxfield. Some of you know Misty. If you come to see me or if you call me, you got to get through Misty to get to me. Don't mess with her. I could tell you the story about the time she kidnapped a guy and zip-tied him and threw him in the trunk of her car, but I won't. I won't. It's a true story. So you can imagine the attitude she had when she showed up at City Light, fresh out of the Ada County Jail with a brand new baby, which was the only reason she was out of jail and the only reason she got to go to City Light. And at the time, she was facing sentencing for her most recent crime spree, which could have resulted in 90 years in prison. I'm not kidding. I went to court with her, and I saw her file. And when the prosecutor walked in, it was that thick. I mean, it was just full of years and years and years and years. And the judge that she was before had sentenced her to about five different programs, given her opportunity after opportunity to go into a program, to get sober, to behave herself and have a life. And she failed and failed and failed and failed and failed to do that. So she comes to City Light. She's facing the sentencing, and she was pretty unhappy. But nonetheless, we loved her. Nonetheless, we prayed for her. Nonetheless, we reached out to her every single day with the love of Jesus Christ. And Misty started to soften and respond to that kind of love and the intervention of the Holy Spirit in her life. And so that God blessed her with a judge who had the last time told her, this is the last time, gave her one more chance. I was there when it happened, and the judge took about, I'm not kidding, he took at least a minute and a half or 2 minutes looking at these papers before him that concerned this girl that he was supposed to send to prison. The prosecutor made a great, great case, send her to prison, this is it. And even her defense attorney, well, Your Honor, yeah, she hasn't done well, but maybe you could give her one more chance. That's about all he could say. She was, you know, that far down the road. And God moved on his heart. God moved on that judge's heart. And instead of sending her to prison for 97 years, he sent her to the rescue mission for a total of about 2.5 years. She was sentenced to us. It was a beautiful thing. Nowhere to go. And she made the best of it. I can tell you that. On my birthday that year, she accepted Christ, which was, what a great birthday gift that was for me. They called me to tell me, guess what happened, Rev? It's your birthday. Guess what you got? Misty accepted Jesus. Well, not only did she accept Jesus, but she dove into Jesus. Meanwhile, her husband, who was in the Ada County Jail, he was out at the Idaho Correctional Facility out there facing his time. He got in trouble and got thrown in the hole, which is a bad place. Just leave it at that. And there's supposed to be nothing in the hole but your bunk and your bedroll and you, and that's it. But he got thrown into the hole, and he finds a Bible on his bunk. What's that doing in here? And he sat down and read the Gospel of John in the hole and accepted Jesus Christ on his own in the hole by the power of the Holy Spirit. So here we go. Boom, they're both saved. He gets out of prison, they get reunited, and today she's my executive assistant at the rescue mission. 14 years clean and sober, 12 years working at the rescue mission, and the last 4 years, 5 years working directly for me and with me. What an amazing story. And I could tell you stories like this until tomorrow. I won't, because I know you all have plans for the afternoon. But this is what's happening at your rescue mission. And that last scripture is so important. I want to read that one. Colossians, we read it, but I got to read it again. Because this work, folks, is what we're all about. You know, when you come right down to it, why did Jesus save me? Why did Jesus save you? So that the people who are in darkness could see the same great light that you and I have seen. That's why. That's the ultimate purpose of our salvation, and to worship and serve God. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness, the ones pulling the blinders off. That's our purpose. And it's a hard job. It's a hard job here in this congregation with all of us who are, to me, you all look pretty normal, happy, sane people. I don't know. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. But you come down to my chapel service tonight, you're going to see some interesting people in there. And sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, they're not really, really wanting to be there. They're not really wanting to hear anything from me or anybody else. And don't tell me about this Jesus, man. Just give me my spaghetti and get out of my face. It's not easy. But here's the key, and we read it earlier. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, that's us. Isn't that beautiful? Put on tender mercies. Here's the commands. Put on kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anybody has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all of these things, put on love. Put on love. And certainly you folks in this congregation know how to do that, because the love you have for one another and your pastor is obvious and evident. And so we take that same charge very, very, very seriously at the rescue mission. That's why I'm so blessed when you come and tell me that our folks are nice and kind and compassionate and all of that, because that's what we're supposed to do. And when we do it, we see changed lives like these I've talked about this morning. That's what happens when we obey God. That's what happens when we're faithful. And folks, you are faithful. And you have a part in every single decision for Christ that happens at the Boise Rescue Mission. Let that bless your hearts. Let that fill your heart with joy, that every decision, every life changed, every baby saved, every single one, you have a part in that, because you pray for us, you give to us, you serve with us. You're a part of us. And I can't tell you thank you enough. Appreciate you. Appreciate Pastor Phil. Pastor Doug, I just got to know, but I think I like him already. I just want to say thank you so very, very much from the bottom of my heart, from all of us at the rescue mission, for your faithfulness and your love. God bless you and keep you and make his face to shine on you. Thank you.